Matthew chapter 5, I want to start reading with verse 1. This here is the Beatitudes in the Scriptures. Jesus says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened up his mouth and taught them, saying," then everything goes red in your Bible if you have a red-lettered edition Bible. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's message number 2. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's number 3 message. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's number 4. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Number 5. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Number 6. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Number 7. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Number 8. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Number 9. "And rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And the reason for that is the next verse. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now notice the Lord calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what God calls people that know him as Lord and Savior. I want to talk this morning about the highest aim in life. People ask me all the time why I've been called to the ministry. Well, the Lord called me. I didn't just go because I didn't have a job. I never wanted to do any of this, but because I had other things in my mind that I thought I would do, but the Lord had other things going on. And people say, "Why are you so excited about ministry after all these years?" I've had people say, "You don't seem to ever get depressed or despondent. You don't ever seem to want to quit." Well, the reason for it is this verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be full." I want to take one of those Beatitudes and deal with that right there. Now, I could preach, like I say, 8-9 messages here. "Blessed or empowered to prosper are they which do hunger and thirst." Notice the words that Jesus used to describe wanting righteousness or wanting right standing with God. In other words, hungry and thirsty. Now, when you're hungry, you can be very irritable. Two of the hardest things to happen to a human body is being hungry and being thirsty. I believe you can go a little longer without food than you can without water. And it's an amazing thing. People say, "Why are you so much into the ministry?" No, you misunderstand. The ministry is into me. I hunger and I thirst for the right standing with God. And I'm not trying to get there. I've already got there. See, the problem with the church world for millenniums, we preach for you trying to get what you already are. And I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. Quit trying to become what you already are. It's a life of Christian frustration. But that doesn't mean Christians are perfect. And we already know that. And I made up my mind, you never judge Christianity by the conduct of Christians. See, some people have quit the gospel or quit the ministry because somebody messed up in morality. Well, why would you allow someone's mistake to stop you from going to heaven? "Yeah, but I trusted them." Well, that's true, and that's hard when someone breaks trust. But that does not change what Jesus said. He never broke your trust, and he never will. Somebody shout somebody. So I judge Christianity by Christ and not by Christians. Even though there's some great and wonderful Christians, there is a weed or two here and there. So he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be full." I noticed some people said, "Why do they enjoy, why y'all just seem to enjoy y'all sing and play? Why y'all enjoy church so much?" Because we are hungry, we're thirsty. Why do people take off running sometime? Why do people just want to get up and dance a little bit? It's not because they just feel like it. It's just that they're getting into the very presence of an almighty God called worship. So when you go to a church or when you deal with religion, it's not very pleasant. Religion is a garden of weeds, a theological wilderness. So write this down. It is not pleasant to picture, or it is not a pleasant picture to realize you have been seeking a sleek and satisfied religion. You cannot quench one's thirst for God drinking out of empty cups. See, for years I went to church drinking out of an empty cup. I went to church feeling good, came out feeling bad, should have stayed home. Why? Because religion is an empty cup. It promises you everything, but it gives you nothing but bondage. Because if you don't think like we think or talk like we talk, then you're not of us and we don't have anything to do with you. You see, and when you realize that all your life may have been a certain religion, but it's never been satisfying, you have been drinking out of an empty cup. You see, you may be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, but the people that were speaking to you were not righteous, were not hungry, and were not thirsty. Yet they may be a person of the cloth, the clergy. But that don't mean, bless God, that they got an inside track on God. Do you understand? I have the ability to preach this gospel, but I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. It's my business to choose whether I am happy with the gospel or is the gospel happy with me. I found that both of us, I'm happy with the gospel and the gospel's happy with me. But I choose my destiny and my destination. People say all the time, but you seem to be always seem like everything seems to work for you. Well, I am the architect of my life. I determine what happens to me. Do you understand that? Not circumstances, even though things may arise, I can alter any circumstances that comes my way through the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. How can you do that? Because I hunger and thirst after righteousness. How you know you're not going to miss it? Because I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I use those two same definitions. Jesus, when you're hungry, are you waiting for Sunday to go to church? Or are you saying, oh God, I could have slept later. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I can tell when it hits. People go, Do you say, Lord Jesus, we got a time, just a few hours, a couple of 2 or 3 hours to worship God and call him Lord in our lives, even though it should be done on a daily basis instead of a Sunday basis. That's the difference between, quote, someone that is in Christ and someone that is in crisis. See, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So it's not a pleasant picture to realize you have been seeking a sleek and satisfied religion. You cannot quench one's thirst for God drinking out of empty cups. So I made up my mind that I refuse to drink out of an empty cup. Even though there are many different types of Christians. There are Catholic Christians, Protestant Christians. And of the Protestant ranks, there are a lot more Protestant definitions of Christianity. You got the Baptist, you got the Methodist, you got the Episcopalian, you got the Presbyterian, you got the Church of God, the Church of Christ, the Word of Faith, the full gospel, the Assemblies of God. You got the Mennonite, you got the Amish, you got so many different sections of Christianity. And then you have the Catholic people. They only have one. The Catholics. In nomine Patria Filii. A Spiritu Sancti. There'll be a lot of people going today. And it makes no difference what church you're going to. By no means. But it makes a difference what that church is saying to you. Amen. Are you going in dry and are you coming out dry? Are they giving you an empty cup? You know what religion is? It's like going to a restaurant. I've said it so many times. Going to a restaurant, ordering the food, never getting the food, but you get the bill. You're going to get that bill at the end. Even though you'll never eat anything, you're going to have to pay for what you do. Well, Jesus already paid the price. Are you hearing me? I'm dealing with the highest aim in life. So I realize, let me say it again, some of you write it down. It's not a pleasant picture to realize you have been seeking a sleek and satisfied religion. You cannot quench one's thirst for God drinking out of empty cups. You see, I was Catholic because mama made me Catholic, not because God made me Catholic. Then mom and daddy changed religion. I became a Protestant. I became a Protestant not because I wanted to be a Protestant, because mama made me a Protestant. In other words, I found out that that choice was done by other people instead of being done by me. But when I came to the age of accountability, when I began to think for myself, I said, wait a minute. Why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? Can I really touch a God that's untouchable? You'd be surprised how many people over the centuries have made God untouchable. You couldn't touch him. He was too holy. Yet he said, be ye holy for I am holy. Now, if he said I could become holy, then why don't I? Who do you think you are? Everything God said I was. How do you know that's going to happen? A hunger and thirst for righteousness. A right standing with God. He said, blessed, empowered to prosper. The key to a lot of my prosperity is not just my giving, but it's also my hungerness and thirstiness to do the will of God in my life. Now, a lot of people get restless in church. They start looking for other things to do. Why? Because you're drinking out of an empty cup. Restless, write this down. Restless and restless and deep disappointment comes when we fix our eyes on things which perish. To hunger and thirst for goodness is no extravagant deal. Do you know how many people in the world want to be good? But it doesn't satisfy the longing in your life. Let me say it again. Restless And deep disappointment comes when we fix our eyes on things which perish. To hunger and thirst for goodness is no extravagant deal. All my life I tried to be good and wound up being bad. Because you see, my affection was on something wrong. My affection was on something that perished. In other words, it was new, but it got old. I'd buy a new car and I loved it, but after a while I didn't like it because it got old. You see my point? But the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because everything on the earth will perish, but things in heaven never do perish. So I became restless. I became disappointed with the church world. I didn't want to have anything to do with God in any way, shape, or form. Whether it was Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. I didn't care about the big three religions, or Buddhist, or whatever. I made up my mind. That was a waste of time. And some of you are watching by television saying, yeah, I feel exactly like that. You know why? You have been drinking out of an empty cup of religion all the days of your life. So more people are so concerned about trying to satisfy their religion instead of satisfying the God of whom they serve. I had a friend of mine one time, bless God. I mean, God gave him a Bible study with over 600 people in it, and God wanted to move it to another building, but he wouldn't do it because some religious person decided not to. They shouldn't do that because their name was not on that building. So 600 people were destroyed in a matter of 3 years because someone refused to do what God said and did only what religion says. I got restless. I had disappointment, see, because I found out that all those years I was seeking a sleek and satisfied gospel or religion, see. But then when I began to get into the word of the Lord God, there was something in me that really wanted to know God. I remember saying it to our pastor when I first got born again. I like to talk to God. What's the matter, boy? You can't talk to God. So immediately that shut me down and I refused to talk to God. Because I figured, well, certainly, you know, he must know because he's the man of God. Now watch this. After a while, you know, I was told all my life, don't read the Bible, you'll go crazy. Anybody ever been told that? Hold your hand up. Come on. Hold your hand up. Come on, be honest. Don't read the Bible, you'll go crazy. I never read the Bible all my life. I went crazy anyway. I thought, was it? Something went right about that. I remember the first time I saw God moving, Kenny, in the power of who he is. I thought people were crazy. I saw a woman shouting and praising God. And when I first walked into church, if I'd have seen a person run across the front like you saw this morning, I'd have thought, they've been reading that Bible. They done went slap crazy. Because when you go to church, it's dull, it's boring. You sit there and can't wait till it's over with. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know it's the truth. And the kids, thank God, they got delivered from that stuff. Now they have children's church. So at least they can have suckers. Or have chili dog. Hey, chili dog and corn dog and all that kind of stuff that they had back there. But boy, to the poor adult, you had to sit there and just take it. Lord Jesus, when is he finished? Am I telling the truth? Why? Because you see, religion never quenches thirst. Religion is man-made. Jesus Christ is God-made. Do you see that? So I began to set my affection on things above. I began to say, you know what? I believe I can talk to God. Now, I didn't know how to talk to God, so I gave him my best shot. I really came out with something very intellectual. God. And he said, what? I like to pass out when he said, what? I said, you mean he'll talk to me? Yeah. Why? Because he set his affection on us. And we need to set our affection upon him. So I began to have this insatiable thirst for the word of God. And I tell you how, let me tell you how, when the devil would try to shut me down. Watch this. All my life I wanted to make money. Because I was raised poor. The whole world's an economic world. We got to make some money. And there was times I knew if I didn't go to work, I wouldn't make money, but I didn't care. I pulled my tired body up, bless God, because I wanted to make some money. So every time I began to go try, I'd go to read the Bible and it just didn't feel like it. I'd say, you know what? I would equate that to me making money. I would say, well, my Lord, if I was making money on this, I'd get, I don't care how tired I was, I'd get up and go do that, right? Well, shut up, body. I don't care how tired you are. You're going to read the scripture today and you're going to get it inside of you. I equate it to making money. Boy, after a while, I thought, man. And I began to find out some wonderful things about the gospel. Last night, I turned on television, watched a little bit, and the Spirit of God just quickened me. And I told Kathy, I said, listen, I just cut it off. I'm going into study and just talk about what the Lord wants me to do. You see, so every time I didn't feel like going to church, I said, well, you know, I didn't feel like going to work, but I did. So I'm going to tell you, lazy, no-count body, shut up and go to work. Shut up and go to church. I began to equate it. Would I give God the same time factor as I'd give my job? Or me making money. Makes sense, doesn't it? all of a sudden I found out it wasn't hard to study. It wasn't hard to go to church when I equated it the other way around. Because everything else I was going to would fade away. But when I was getting into God's work, it never faded away. See, what I was doing was setting my affection on things above, not on things below. But by setting my affection on things above, I began to get things that were below. God began to bless me in the city, in the field, going in and going out. Then he began to tell me, because you put me first, you're going to quit driving Toyotas and start flying jets. Huh? See, I never thought, how am I going to ever purchase a jet? You know how much money jets cost? Plus how much it takes to run them, plus the maintenance. All the Lord said, you'll never have to worry about that aircraft. I've owned 3 jets, and I ain't never had to worry about it. I paid cash for all 3 of them. Bless God. God's been gracious. You see, all of a sudden, the things that I wanted in life that I tried to get to, I couldn't get to because I was hungering, thirsting for the wrong thing. But when I hungered and thirst for righteousness, guess what? Got a jet. Got a jet. Got a watch. Got nice clothes. Got everything. All of a sudden I thought, whoa, Lord, this is beyond my need. You know, you said you meet my need. Well, I have no needs. He said, I ain't finished yet. Just hunger and thirst after me, Jesse, and I'll give you some desires. All of a sudden, Lord Jesus, my desires begin to come. And I thought, certainly it won't get any better than that. Then all of a sudden, if I would want something, I would immediately possess it. That's needs, that's desires, that's wants, because I hungered and thirsted for righteousness. See, I was pleasing God instead of trying to please myself to get ahead in life. But by pleasing God, guess what I got? Ahead in life. Amen. Do you see that? That's what Jesus was saying on that sermon out there on that mountain. Man, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be full. I've seen a lot of rich people. I know a lot of rich people that are very unhappy. Money does not make you happy. It just makes you comfortable while you're miserable. You can be miserable and be loaded to the gills. Some of the most wealthiest people committed suicide, totally miserable, nothing, void, because it doesn't fill. Why? Because it's perishable. It will rot away. Oh, but if you hunger and you thirst, Lord, if you give us a God, you are my source. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Then all of a sudden you begin to get full, and then your spirit man begins to overflow into your soulish man, and then your soulish man begins to overflow into your physical man. Then the things of life begin to come. Want a dress? Got it. You can have a whole wardrobe of dress. God don't care. He wants you looking good. Do you see that? My Lord. See, and when you understand it, yeah, but Brother Jesse, I'm doing the best that I can. Write this down. God deals with us not so much according to our performance, but according to his promises. The Bible says all the promises of God are yea and amen. But we're thinking about performance. He's thinking about promise. The blessing comes when he looks in us, not at us, but in us, for the will to seek him, to obey him, and to believe him. Let me say that again. God deals with us not so much according to our performance. Put a comma there. Let me stop there for a minute. Everybody's trying to get God's attention by performing something. He's not dealing with you according to your performance. He deals with you according to his promises. His promises are actually prophecies. History wrote in advance for you. Now that blessing, blessed are those who hunger, that blessing comes when he looks in us, not at us, but in us, for the will to seek him, to obey him, and to believe him. See, that's what I do in my life. I look to seek him, obey him, and walk in his will. Let me say it again. I look to seek him, obey, and believe him. Now, people think some of my belief is crazy. They say, oh, you can't do that. Some of the greatest men in the world look at me and say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. That's why you don't have it. Because you simply don't believe it. You know, if you watch Star Wars, even Yoda knew how to get a ship out of a swamp. Remember Yoda? Little Yoda? He sure didn't look like the powerhouse he was, did he? You're not moved by what you see. And what's his name, the boy? I can't call his name there. The kid. Luke Skywalker. God trying to make him a Skywalker, and he's in the swamp. That ought to tell you something. He tries to raise up the ship, and he falls back in the water. This messes it all up again. Gonna have to call FEMA. Destruction everywhere. And he tells Yoda, who don't look like he can pick up himself. He got a cane. He don't look too like he's powerhouse, is he? He goes, you don't have to look good to do this. You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, the ship comes up. It's amazing. And Luke said, how'd you do, why couldn't I do that? He said, what's it? A very wonderful scripture was used there because you didn't believe it. He couldn't build the force around what he was wanting. Yet the force was there. May the force be with you. See my point? Let me say it again. God deals with us not so much according to our performance. Our performance sometimes not good. I'm playing and my hand is on a G card when it should have been on an F card. Because the microphone's in my face and I can't see my left hand. That's what happened a while ago. Finally, I looked down and I said, wrong card. I'm going to blame it on Renee. I'm going, what is that sound? And she's going to turn around and blame it on Steve. It's him. But what happened, it has nothing to do with performance. See, let me tell you, you want a great marriage? Quit trying to perform for each other. Kathy likes it when I look at her. You heard her say that. She says, thanks for looking, because she thinks she's getting old. She is. She ain't got to think about it. She is getting old. So am I. So what? So what? Well, what should we do? Plastic surgery. Botox. I don't know, whatever you want. I ain't doing any of that, but you do what you want. No, she don't have, I don't care. See my point? It has nothing to do with performance. See, that's why so many people, that's why the ego destroys them. You can tell when that ego hits, that's performance. They get that lean, what's up, mama? Now, so most people don't understand it. They go, what's wrong with his arm? Trying to get somebody's attention. Ain't got anything to do with it. God doesn't deal with you on how good you prayed today. How great you preached today. He don't deal with that. Now, we like for him to think, hey, how we do. No, he deals with his promise. I promised you, Jesse. I prophesied to you. You see my point? Yeah, let me say it again. God deals with us not so much according to our performance, but according to his promise. Why? All we got to do is earnestly seek after and hunger and thirst for righteousness. The blessing comes when he looks in us, not on us, but in us for the will to seek him, obey him, and believe him. Well, but Jesse, what happens when faith is lost? What happens? Because it can be lost. Inevitably, faith is lost when life's responsibilities slow us down to a quiet jog on an easy road. That's the problem with religion. See, people like going to the same church for 40 years, just don't mess with their business. I heard a person come to, I don't go to church to be preached to. Jack Word told me, I don't go to church to be preached to. And I thought, well, what is he here for? That's just, Lily was told, I don't go to church to be preached to. Well, stay home, you ugly fool. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't. I said, well, we won't preach to you today, we'll teach you today. Because you're definitely lacking somewhere. See, they've decided to get on a religious treadmill. They're running, but they ain't going nowhere. You see my point? Let me say it again. Inevitably, faith is lost when life responsibilities slow us down to a quiet jog on an easy road. You can hear that. People don't ever go to church. Are you religious? Yes, I'm Catholic. Do you go to church? Easter and Christmas. Or do you go to church? I'm a Jew. Yeah, but do you go to synagogue? I'm a Jew. I know what you are. Don't shout me down. I'm a Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. But what do you say? I don't really know. See, that's going through the motions and never being satisfied. Inevitably, faith is lost when life's responsibilities slow us down to a quiet jog on an easy road. Got too much to do. The less strenuously we seek after righteousness, the less strongly we believe in it. See, the less strength you seek after this, the less strongly you believe in it. After a while, all the stuff that you're working for will fade away. You will get old and you will die. And if you don't waste your money, your kids will. They don't love it as much as you do. They didn't have to work for it. They sitting at the funeral going, oh, mama, oh, daddy, oh, boy. They ain't going to tell you that. Why? Because the less strenuously you reach after righteousness, the less strongly you believe in it. You have to stir up the gift of God within you. I do that. Sometimes I don't want to preach. I've been behind pulpits. God's my witness. Say, ladies and gentlemen, a worldwide evangelist is here today. Jesse Duplantis. I walk up to the front. I look at people. And what I'm saying inside, oh, let them all go to hell. God, let's get out of here. I don't feel like doing this. Am I shocking you? I have thought that many times. I ain't going to lie. I'm just as human as you are. Let them all go to hell. I went to a church one time, a lady on the second pew jumps up and said, listen, and that's when I had brown hair. Let's see what this young whippersnapper gonna do. First I thought, what is a whippersnapper? We've run off a lot of preachers in our church. Well, when would somebody run you over is what I felt like saying. I didn't. And in the middle of my sermon, she jumped up. I don't believe that. I said, go to hell. I said it right in front of just like a, she went, ah! She walked out that church. That's exactly where she was going, to hell. I wasn't cussing. I was prophesying. Pastor grabbed me at the end of the service. He said, I've been wanting to tell that woman to go to hell for 20 years. That's what he told me. I'll never forget it. Where was that? Atlanta, Texas. That's all I'm going to say right there. I want to tell that woman to go to hell for years. I woke y'all up, and it's 3 minutes after 12. He went, preach again. Oh, it was something. It was something. Because she was going to hell. It wasn't slang, it was destination. I control this church, that's the problem. Inevitably, faith is lost. When life's responsibilities, all this stuff that you think is so important, slows us down to a quiet jog on an easy road. The less strenuously we seek after righteousness, the less strongly we believe in it. I don't think there's any place I go that I don't talk about God somewhere. Have to, even when I'm on vacation. Just something about it. Why, blessed, empowered to prosper are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what keeps the smile going? I'm full. You ever notice when people are full? You ever seen a baby when a baby's full? They just go, you think, this is a good kid. But buddy, when they're not full, have you ever tried to feed them and you can't get it down their throat fast enough? That they cry between the bites. Ah! 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 And after they go, oh, thank God. Finally something hitting down here. How many of you had babies between the bites? They cried. Till they just get something down there, boy. Let's get something down there. And then when they get full, they get happy. I think the best times for babies is when they're full and when they just wake up. It's a new world. I love watching children. I watch the kids at the Family Fall Festival. Some of these kids, like, I said, I want to be that excited about life. You can learn a lot from your children. You can learn a lot from your grandchildren. Just watch them. There's a little, did you see that? I don't know, Pastor Tim, boy, he does all that stuff, and they were doing that rap, and them kids, you know, like that. And all, and the black adults are going, mm-hmm. And the white people, they didn't know what to do, they go, yeah. It's kind of funny, nobody know what to do. So I saw this little girl, she must have been, I guess she ain't 4 years old, 3 years old, she just moving. So she looked at me, I said, show me how, she said, come on. Come on, you got to do this. I'm just watching. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know if it was a father. Now he goes, look at that child. And that child was having fun. Boy, give him a piece of candy. It's wonderful to be like that. It really is. See, I get excited about life. Oh, yeah. I'm like a kid. Woo-hoo. Get up in the morning. Whoa! Ow, another day! Come on, some of me, devil. Come on, leapfrog. I eat frog legs. I'm going to cut your legs off. Eat them for supper. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I never got bored with my God. I certainly got bored with religion. So I started to hang with God. How many of y'all been watching me for years? How many of you been knowing me for years? Years and years. Have I changed? I know my body's changed, but have I changed? Why? Hunger. Thirsty. Kathy just couldn't understand a lot of time when I finished preaching and I'd go to the house and say, well, how was that? What's the matter? You don't know how it was? Now I can start an argument real quick, you know. Yeah, I know how it was. What you thought of it? It was good. What part of it was good, woman? Come on, get some specifics here. Well, this now, yeah. But then she started preaching. But I can tell you, when she finished preaching, she started looking for me. Sometimes, I know she looks at me, I just don't want to look at her. She go. So we're in the car. She don't say nothing. She goes, it's a good night, wasn't it? I say, yeah, it was. Did you enjoy the message? Now, if you want to make her mad, you say, what message? Mm-mm, don't say that. That's hitting the wrong card on the wrong. I said, yeah. What part of it you like? I said, well, I like it. And before I can finish, she goes, she shuts me down. Well, I didn't quite finish that point. Let me help you here. Boy, she'll preach to me all the way to the house. So, man, I'm taking off my suit and she's preaching behind me. What do you think about that? Wasn't that something? Lord, she said, I just felt it. It just come on me. Then sometimes she comes in, she don't feel she did it right. She look like Alice the Goon, you know, Papa. I love Papa. I love God. I love God. I think I love God. I don't know what I do. Y'all remember Alice the Goon? How many of y'all remember Alice the Goon? Look at all the young people. What? Oh, you missed some good stuff. But see, everybody likes. See, she wanted to be hungry and thirsty for what she said, which is nothing. Now she understands because she ministers the gospel. So, man, a lot of times she'll look at me and go. I said. And sometimes, let me tell you something. When you think you've done the worst, people come up to you and say, there's been times I have murdered her sermon. Destroyed it. People say, well, Jesse, that's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. And I thought, them idiots ain't heard a thing I said. No, they heard right. See, I was dealing with performance. Let me say this in close. Some people don't believe in demons. There are more devils in church today than there are people. Do you understand? They never miss church. Never. They never miss a Wednesday night. Devil show up. Most faithful being ever created by God. That devil gonna show up. I was in a place in North Louisiana. Let me close it here. I hung in the third. I said, Lord. Man, demons would start manifesting in my meetings. And they'd say, Jesse. The first meeting, you know, kind of like the Exodus, you know. I'm thinking, whoa, Lord, they're going to vomit. Lord, let me get out of the way here. I don't want to spit all over. Jesse, I hate you. I thought, my God, they know my name. They know my name in hell. Boy, I mean, that would go, whoa, that would just charge my battery. Man, I rolled on the floor with devils screaming and hollering in my face. People say, they're going to kill him. No, they're not. And then the police said, well, he's on his own. I ain't touching his credit. I've had it happen, buddy. I was in North Louisiana praying in a prayer line. This wonderful pastor, great guy. I really liked him. We're praying, boy. Now, he's on this side of me in a prayer. Man, I must have had 30 people to pray for. So I'm praying. What about 6 people down? I hear this. So the people in the other line said, we're going to come back a little later. Man, everybody just moving in. That thing is twisting that woman, boy.
And everybody going, people that didn't speak in tongues went cool. People get scared. But I didn't have time. I still had four to five other people to pray for. So I tell that pastor, I said, go over there and cast that devil out. He said, I'm a scared of devils. I said, what? I turned around to the worship leader, sing another song. I said, what? He said, man, I don't like demons. I don't like devils. I said, go over there. Greater is he was in you than he is in the world. Go over there and cast that devil out. I said, I rebuke that fear in you. Okay. But you walk over there. So I'm praying, and I'm trying to pray for people, but I got my eye on them. He gets to that crazy woman. That devil goes, rawr. He says, come out. And the devil says, I'm out. I'm out. He looked at me and said, the devil's out. I said, that devil ain't out. He's lying to you. And it broke out in the laughter. It really did. And the pastor's freaking out. Oh, devil falls on the floor, man, twisting that woman. I said, say it again. He said, come out, devil. I'm out. Real loud, real hot. I'm out. He said, it's out, but yes. I said, put your hand. No, I ain't but my hand. I said, y'all excuse me for a minute. I walk over there, and when I walk over there, but I went, boom, she back up on her feet. I'll kill you. I said, you can't kill nothing. Boom, she grabs me, spit flying. Everybody, and here's this, we didn't have much security in those days. People going, oh, help him, Jesus. I ain't trying to help me at all. Help me, Jesus. People looking for the back door. Good God, let's get out of here. Boy, I mean spit flying, and I busted out laughing. And don't, the devil don't like it when you laugh at it. The devil just went like, what you laughing at? I said, you. And buddy, I mean, I almost twisted that woman's head off. I grabbed her by the head. I mean, I picked that woman off the ground. You devil from hell. I mean, and I get, and the pastor's over here going, that's right. That's right. That's right. Well, she got delivered. Glory to God. I mean, that devil, and she was completely without any strength for about 20 minutes. I mean, the devil had been tearing on that woman. They call it, but he throw, in the scripture, the demon throw that person, tore them. That didn't mean tear them in half. Just tearing. I mean, it's physical strength as well as spiritual thing. People say, are you afraid of that? No, I ain't afraid of that, John. No, why? Because greater is he was in us than he was in the world. That has nothing to do with my faith. It has to do with my hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, some people get themselves possessed. I don't believe that. Oh, I can take you and make you a believer real quick in some places. See, but how can that, I don't want that to happen to me. We'll stay full. You can't put any more milk in a glass of milk when the glass of milk is full. Am I correct? So you never have to worry about that or fret that kind of thing. See, and then sometimes you can't let the devil take over a service. So the best thing is they drag them in the back and handle that back there. But most of these devils are little imps anyway. They're not, you know, you can get them out real quick. But every once in a while you hit a spiritual ruler. And those, Bible says, you can fast and pray and power in God and believe it, because that spiritual ruler don't want to turn loose. I honestly believe this. There's a spiritual ruler over the city of New Orleans. Said there, you got to understand something about Satan. He runs his business like an army. There's four classifications of devil. Five of them. I said principalities, powers, spiritual rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Then you got little demons and imps. And you know what's causing all that problem in Iran right now? The same devil that withstood Daniel, called the Prince of Persia. I wish I could speak this in the Congress, trying to help them people, because they're trying to deal with something on legislation. You don't legislate a devil. You see, that's that same spirit that withstood Daniel. Do you see that? You got to know how to handle that. Oh, we don't want nobody to see that. Oh, we seek a friendly here. We don't want nobody to see that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. The insane asylums are full of people. Some of them are sick, don't misunderstand me, but a lot of them are filled with spirits because the church wouldn't fill them up with righteousness. And they went all their lives drinking out of an empty cup. That's sad, isn't it? So I just made up my mind. I'm going to stay full. How do I do that? When my body don't want to go run? Well, how many times I get on that plane, I'm going, well, you know, my aviation crews, I'm... But I equate it back. Well, what would happen if he was going to work? Would you not go to work? No, we got to go to work. Got to open the store. If you open a store, got to make a living. Got to do something, right? Common sense, huh? Got to beat the driven path, like I say. Well, it's the same way. Then after a while, I begin to look forward to it. And I begin to look forward to it. God begins to honor me. Then when I'm there, if I have my own business, for you to have your own business, listen to me. You begin to pray and command blessing to come into your business. Before you open that door and open it, you say, today I'm going to have a good day. And the devil said, well, suppose it didn't happen. Well, suppose it does happen. See, there's always an opportunity to doubt. You just don't take any. And you command, if you're a person that's in retail, you command those people to come in there and you give them a good product at a good price. And you talk to them and make them feel comfortable. And never judge them by what they wear. Never, you don't know who you're talking to. I'll say this in close one more time. When they used to have the Rivergate before they tore it down and made it a casino, remember the Rivergate downtown New Orleans? I wanted a certain kind of piano. Remember that, Kathy? And they had this big furniture thing going on and all kinds of stuff. Home show is what they call it, yeah. Kathy said, well, let's go to that home show. They might have some, maybe somebody be, we were building a house, maybe somebody will have pianos there, some, besides just a normal piano thing. So I said, okay. Watch this. Now, I was doing very well. You understand what I'm saying? I was a blessed man. This is several years ago. So we walk in, but with that day, I happened to wear, remember those coach shorts that you wear? They're kind of made out of double knit coach shorts. And you do it when you play football. And the shorts of coaches wear. And a t-shirt, because it was hot, Africa hot. It was the middle of summer here in New Orleans. You know, Kathy, I had some, you know, just summer stuff. And tennis shoes. So we go in there. So we're looking around at home show. I've never been in a home show in my life, you know. And Kathy's interested in cabinets and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of looking for a piece of furniture. Man, I sure would like to have me a piano if I had to find something reasonable here. All of a sudden, I see the piano. This thing was beautiful. Beautiful piece. Had a French design to it. Beautiful, my Lord, gorgeous. Sitting there. So I walked over there and I looked at it. Now, I know something about pianos. Even though I hit a wrong chord, I know something about pianos. I got to get that microphone out the way, boy, so I can see my left hand. I mean, what is that sound? Watch this. I walk over there and I see this piano there. And I touch it. The action's good. I go, oh. Now, there's the guy that's supposed to be there, he ain't there. He walking around. He just looks at me like that. He don't pay no much attention to me. He saw me touch the piano. And I thought, who works around here? Because I done told Kathy, we're going to buy this piano. I don't know how much it costs. I'm buying this piano. Now, he don't know who he's talking to. So, finally, he says, can I help you? Now, I should have picked it up right there.
Can I help you?
But, you know, because I was excited about the piano, I said, yeah. I said, this is a beautiful piano.
Yeah, we think so.
I said, how much does this piano cost?
He said, if you got to ask that, you can't afford it.
Did he say that? I looked at him and smiled. I thought, this is the second idiot I met today. Because the first idiot was in the parking lot. But I met the second idiot I met today. I said, what did you say? And when I did that, I had on a Rolex President watch or something like that. He saw that watch. Oh, excuse me. See, he done judged me by what he saw. He didn't see the left hand. Now, I wasn't doing that. But he, all of a sudden, you wearing that kind of a watch. Either you stole it or you bought it. Because they don't give them away. Right? And I went, when he said, if you got to ask that, you can't afford it. I went, that's when he knows the watch. But he could have given it to me for 2 pennies. I wouldn't have bought it. I said, you know, I hope you don't own this business because it'll go under with that kind of attitude. Fool. I just turned around, walked off, went to another store and bought a piano. Am I telling the truth? Man. And those people treated us nice. They said, yes, sir. I said, we're looking for a piano. We have some. I said, I like this one. It's for sale. I said, well, let's do a deal. We believe in deals. When can you deliver it? Today. When can you give us the money? Today. I said, man, we got a lot of things in common. He happy, I'm happy, everybody happy.
Except the guy at the Rivergate.
Because you see, he wasn't hungry and thirsty for a sale. You never know who you're talking to. Stand to your feet. I held you a little long here. So the highest aim in life is to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Oh, and if you do that, you'll get the piano or the car, if that's what you want. Now, some people are going to criticize me and say, well, he's just preaching that so they can get things. There's nothing wrong with things. What do you think faith was given to you for? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things. Ain't nothing wrong with things. Unless things has you. And you don't have to be born again to know that. You see my point? Yeah. So, if you want a great Christian life, stay hungry. And you'll stay full. Which is kind of like an oxymoron if you think about it. Hungry, full? How can you be hungry and full? In God's word, you can. You see, because two things that don't work do work. You ever seen somebody pretty ugly? Boy, that's pretty ugly. Now, you understand that perfectly, don't you? You said pretty and you said ugly. That's an oxymoron. Military intelligence? There's so many of them. Was that together? Almost positive? How you can be hungry and full? It's an oxymoron, but it will work. Because he said, if you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you shall be full. That's amazing, isn't it? That is so simple. But sad to say, for thousands of years, people never got what they came looking for. We'd like to give it to you today. We want to get you full. Maybe you know a lot about God, but you don't know God. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you're Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Muslim. That's okay with me. Buddhist, hey, I'd like to introduce you to God. Do you know about God or do you know God? I think that's a very valuable question. Yeah. That's called getting saved. But then maybe some of you are here today and you are struggling with your Christianity. Boy, these temptations are getting the best of you. No, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should live. You need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. That's a great word, but it's something better. It's called being full. That you're so full that people be able to eat from your life. I'd like to introduce you to God instead of just knowing about God. So with every head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God instead of knowing about Him, and be honest with yourself, or if you're struggling with your Christianity because these temptations are getting the best of you and you need to come back to God to draw closer to Him, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Yes, here in the front. Thank you. I see those hands. Could I see others quickly? Quickly. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I do. Yes, I see your hand. I know it's a little lady's 12:26. I understand. Could I see one more? Don't miss Jesus here. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. I want everyone to look at me. As I've said so many times, I'd never lie to you. So many people lied to me. I don't know why. I know God instead of knowing about Him. I am full. I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul in that St. Paul. I'm full, I have all, and I abound. You see, because I've learned to receive. A lady the other day in Pasadena, Texas, walked up to me and gave me, she said, I don't have much. I said, don't cut your gift. That gift is precious to you, isn't it? She said, yes. I said, well, then it's precious to me. Just because it changes hands doesn't mean it's not precious no more. Don't never, ever criticize your gift. She gave me a little plaque. Don't ever criticize it. Because it's precious to you. She didn't know what to say. Well, you know, I don't have... Excuse me. You have Christ, you have all. I said, and you're the only one in this church that thought to give me something personally. And there were 1,600 people there. And I wasn't looking for something. But she thought of something that she thought was precious. And out of all those other people who probably were much financially better off than she was, never did anything. See how God looks at people? That's a good example. So when you go to God, don't cut your gift. Say, God, here I am.
And if you're precious to yourself, you'll be precious to God. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, because you took integrity to do that. From the back to the front, every one of you that lifted your hand, whether it's to know God instead of just knowing about Him, or to quit fighting with all this temptation stuff and to get so close to God that you'd never, ever be tempted with that. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and walk to the front. Get your Bible, get your purse, whatever you brought with you. Get out of your seat and come. In front of everybody, what's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. He did that for you. So come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. You that are coming forward, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to pray with you. You that are watching all over the world through our website today, pray this prayer. In fact, all of us, let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. You made it. That was easy, wasn't it?